Welcome to the Excellence in Church Administration podcast, informing, encouraging, and supporting your church. Your hosts are Michael Martin and Dan Busby from ECFA.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another Excellence in Church Administration podcast by ECFA. This is Michael Martin, and it's my privilege to have back in studio my friend, podcast co-host, and president of ECFA, Dan Busby. How are you, Dan?
Doing great, Michael, and I'm looking forward to another great podcast. Thanks, everyone, for taking time out of your busy schedules to join us.
Well, Dan, I couldn't agree more. We just appreciate everyone taking some time out to join us today. And we have a very important topic today, and we're just going to dive right into it. In the next few minutes, we're going to be solving some of the top Social Security tax questions that we hear from pastors. And now many of you might be listening and saying, I didn't even know that there were major Social Security questions that pastors should be asking. And that's exactly the point. This topic is one of those areas where many pastors don't even know that there are questions to ask until they run into a problem down the road, right?
That's right, Michael. And I've always said that Social Security can be one of the most confusing areas surrounding ministers' tax and compensation. As we know, pastors almost always qualify as ministers under the tax law and receive important benefits like the minister's housing exclusion. That one, I think most people are familiar with. However, that same qualification as a minister for tax purposes also leads to some unique challenges related to Social Security and taxes.
That's right, and I think even well-meaning and financially savvy folks even can get tripped up in this area. It is one of the most frequent tax mistakes that we see in churches across the United States is pastors paying Social Security taxes incorrectly. Or to put it another way, in many cases, a church paying Social Security tax to the IRS for a pastor when they should not. And I don't say this at all to stir fear in any way, but it can also lead to many churches breaking the law, even when they're trying to do the right thing. So we're going to talk about that more here in a moment. There's also the issue of some pastors we know, Dan, who've received misleading advice over the years and maybe unknowingly abusing certain Social Security exemptions or winding up at retirement age financially destitute because they improperly claimed an exemption from paying Social Security taxes and therefore have no benefits at retirement age. So those are some of the major issues that we face, and we're going to dedicate this podcast to learning what exactly the rules are and the steps that pastors and churches should be taking to make sure, again, they're following the law and acting as good stewards of the church's financial resources. So to make things interesting and a little bit different, we're going to try something here on the podcast for the next few minutes. I'm going to pretend to be a new pastor that's just entering the ministry. I'm going to have some questions about the Social Security rules and how they apply to pastors. And of course, Dan, you are going to be the wise one that's providing some guidance. So you'll see this is the kind of conversation I believe that should take place with every pastor when they first start out in ministry, or ideally even earlier in seminary or maybe ministry training. But in so many cases, we just do not see that happening. Again, like we said before, usually these questions are the kind that arise later down the road when the pastor is forced somehow to do financial planning, or maybe they're nearing retirement. So here we go, Dan. Let's say I am a new pastor, fresh into the ministry, and I have a few questions about Social Security. And we know that most pastors would never think, again, to ask about Social Security at this point. But all of our listeners, you have to remember, this is just a little game that we're playing. And so pretend and use your imaginations as we go. So here it is. Hi, I am a new pastor, Dan. This is my first job out of seminary. I've got a few questions for you about taxes and my paycheck, specifically about Social Security. Of course, I hear about Social Security all the time, but what exactly is the Social Security system and how does it work?
Well, Michael, first, welcome to the ministry. And then Social Security is a federal government program that dates back to the 1930s. While all the details of the Social Security system can be pretty complex, At a very basic level, the goal of Social Security is to help provide a safety net for Americans when they're at retirement age, disabled, or temporarily in need.
Okay, well, that's helpful. Can you tell me a little bit about how Social Security is funded?
Yes, the government uses what are called payroll taxes to fund Social Security and Medicare. Most pastors will end up paying taxes of just over 15% on their earnings into Social Security and Medicare.
Okay, so I've heard you say there are some different rules for pastors when it comes to Social Security. What exactly do you mean by that?
That's right. There are definitely some unique rules for pastors when it comes to paying Social Security taxes. Probably the biggest difference is the tax burden. Most employees in America pay Social Security taxes through the Federal Insurance Contributions Act, or FICA. The taxes are split half and half between the employee and the employer so that each bears part of the burden. On the other hand, workers who are self-employed pay Social Security taxes under the Self-Employed Contributions Act, or often referred to as SECA. Because they are self-employed, these workers are responsible for paying the entire Social Security tax since, in effect, they are the employee and the employer. Getting down to pastors, what's strange is that even though they're generally considered employees of the church, not self-employed, for income tax purposes, they are considered self-employed for Social Security tax purposes and are responsible for paying the entire amount of the tax.
Wow. Well, I'm just sitting here wondering as a pastor, why is that the case? Is it that pastors are being penalized somehow?
Well, I could see why you might feel that way, but that's not the intention if you look back at how the laws in this area have been developed. Historically, churches resisted paying the employer portion of Social Security taxes because it was viewed as a tax on the church. Eventually, it became mandatory for churches to pay the employer portion of Social Security taxes for non-ministerial employees of the church, just like most other American workers. But for ministers, the old rules still apply where the church isn't paying the employer portion of the tax.
I see. So if I'm hearing you correctly, to summarize, that means I should be paying the full 15% or so in Social Security tax on my earnings as a pastor, even though I am an employee of the church.
Yes, that's right. Pastors are responsible for paying the entire portion of Social Security taxes, even though they're employees of the church for income tax purposes.
So that really seems like a pretty big stretch for me financially as a pastor to pay that full burden of Social Security tax. Is there any way for my church to help offset the impact of having to pay the full Social Security tax amount?
I'm glad you asked that question, and the answer is yes. Many churches help provide their pastor with a Social Security allowance or offset. Even though it's not required, they choose to increase the pastor's compensation to help cover what the church would be paying as the employer portion of the Social Security tax obligation. We have to be really careful here, though, because these taxes are the responsibility of the pastor. And when the church chooses to provide a Social Security tax allowance, this amount is considered taxable compensation to the pastor. So, to fully cover the pastor's Social Security obligation, the church would need to gross up the payment to cover its tax impact. Even though it's taxable income, providing this sort of an allowance can be a great benefit to help put pastors on equal footing with most other workers in America who only pay the employee portion of Social Security taxes.
Well, that helps ease my mind a little bit. I want to ask you another question, and that is, some of my pastor friends have been advised not to participate in Social Security altogether. What is that all about?
Well, that's another difference in the Social Security tax rules for pastors. There is an exemption from Social Security for pastors who have a religious objection to receiving Social Security benefits. But rarely would it be appropriate for most pastors to claim this exemption. Sadly, based on misleading advice, thousands of pastors have improperly claimed an exemption, which, by the way, is technically illegal. Beyond that, pastors who receive this advice are often told not to participate in Social Security because they could better invest their retirement dollars elsewhere. By the way, this is not a valid reason to claim an exemption. The only problem is many pastors don't have a lot of extra income through the years to be investing for retirement, and even if they do, it takes a lot of discipline to set the money aside and actually invest it. I've had tough conversations with several of these pastors over the years who opted out of Social Security and reached retirement but had no way to support themselves or their families. In those cases, there's not much financial hope for the pastor.
Well, all right. Thanks, Dan. This is Michael again. I'm going to take off my new pastor hat. That was really helpful. I think that 2 to 3 minutes or, you know, that time that we spent together, I just wish every pastor in America had an opportunity to have that conversation as they were going into the ministry. You know, I bet there are some folks that are on the podcast today and they're listening and they're kind of thinking about the way that things have been and maybe some of the practices that they followed in the past. You know, what would you say to pastors and churches who are listening and realizing for the first time that maybe they haven't been following the rules correctly? For example, maybe the church has been paying that employer portion of the pastor's Social Security tax obligation under the FICA, FICA, Social Security system all along. What should those folks do?
Well, first, I would commend you. There's no time like the present to make the necessary adjustments. While you can't change the past, you can start today by doing everything you can to get things in proper order. As someone once said, yesterday ended last night. The first call I would make is to a CPA or tax professional that has experience in working with pastors and churches. Undoubtedly, they have helped others work through similar situations. Depending on the situation and what's been done, this may mean some extra taxes that need to be paid, but it's well worth it, and biblical, I might add, to correct our mistakes.
Absolutely. Those are really, really good insights, Dan. And as you know, at ECFA, we're always trying to help pastors and churches in areas like these to communicate what can be some pretty complicated rules in a way that's easy to understand. And as Christ followers, like you mentioned, to take the high road. So when it comes to Social Security, our latest resource is the ebook, 10 Essentials of Social Security for Ministers. It's a free download for ECFA members and our Church Excel subscribers. Tracy's going to tell us more about that in a moment. But first, I think we have some questions that we've received here recently at ECFA, and we're going to tackle those in our Answers to Your Questions segment.
Thanks, Michael. Actually, our first question is related to today's topic on Social Security and should be a review of what we've covered today. So the question is, does a licensed pastor who is treated as an employee have to pay Social Security taxes? As we've covered in the podcast today, pastors engaged in the exercise of ministry are always treated as self-employed for Social Security tax purposes. Self-employed individuals pay Social Security tax under the Self-Employment Contributions Act, SECA, instead of under the Federal Insurance Contributions Act, FICA. Only in rare cases would a minister qualify as exempt from SECA. This could be in a denominational setting where a certain class of licensed ministers are treated as lay employees, not qualifying for ministerial status in the eyes of the IRS. Michael, will you take the next question?
Certainly, I would be happy to. And yeah, I was glad to receive that question. It's a real good recap of what we covered here in the podcast today. Our next question actually touches on a topic that we've covered in a previous podcast, and that is accountable expense reimbursement. So here is the question. For the last 25 years of ministry, I've utilized accountable expense reimbursement plans with the churches that I've served. At different churches, I would purchase ministry-related books for preaching and teaching and then be reimbursed for them. Most of the ministers that I know would take these books with them as they moved on to other churches, and I did the same. A few weeks ago, I came across some information on the internet that made me start questioning that practice. The information said that those books should remain with the church and not be taken with the pastor. So the question is, how does the IRS view those ministry-related books that are purchased through an accountable reimbursement plan? Are they the property of the church? Or can pastors take these books with them when going to a new church? There does not seem to be clarity with this. And that's an outstanding question. And again, as I shared for those who missed our last podcast episode, we covered accountable expense reimbursement plans and highlighted ECFA's ebook on the essentials to reimbursing ministerial expenses. So these resources do a great job laying the foundation on that topic, and would be good to catch you up to speed if you hadn't had a chance to tune into that episode. As to this specific question about who owns the property, the questioner is right in the sense that there does not seem to be clarity, and that is because we're not aware of any provision in the tax code or regulations that specifically addresses the issue of ownership. But it would seem if these are business-related expenses that are being paid by the church, then by default, the church would have ownership of the property that it's paying for. And our friend and attorney Richard Hammer, in his annual Church and Clergy Tax Guide, also shares in a situation like this, you'd want to be careful to avoid violating what are called the private annulment rules that apply to churches and other nonprofits. These rules basically say that a charity's assets should not be diverted to provide a private benefit to key leaders like the pastor. So if the value of these books that are in question or other property is more than insubstantial, I would say you'd want to take a very close look at this, or better yet, to be conservative, it might be worth the pastor paying the church an appropriate amount to be able to avoid any of these concerns. And that would be at the time that the pastor's transitioning out of the church. So that's all the time that we have for the questions today, and we love providing insights and resources for questions like the ones that we've heard today. If you have a question that you would like for us to tackle in a future episode of the podcast, just email us podcast@ecfa.org. We'd be happy to take those questions. At this time, we're going to go to Tracy, ECFA's Director of Church Engagement, to hear more about ECFA's latest resource on Social Security taxes for ministers.
Wow, what great questions and answers for our churches and pastors. To provide more information on today's topic, check out our 10 Essentials of Social Security for Ministers ebook, which will help you plan like a pro. It includes examples and action steps, helping you establish sound practices and abide by tax laws with excellence and confidence. As always, all of our resources are free to our certified members. For more information about how your church can demonstrate integrity and become ECFA certified, visit ecfa.church and click on the Join ECFA tab. The new Social Security Tax eBook is also available through our free Church Excel subscription. Church Excel is our gift to churches who are not yet certified by ECFA and provides over $500 of helpful resources annually. Subscribe today at www.churchexcel.org. Dan and Michael, I'll let you all finish it up.
Thanks so much, Tracy. We appreciate all that you and the ECFA team are doing to provide these great resources, and we want as many pastors and churches as possible to take advantage of them. If you're not already an ECFA church member or Church Excel subscriber, be sure to visit ecfa.church to learn more or contact Tracy with your questions. We also really appreciate everyone who has been listening in to this podcast and helping us spread the word. If you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the Excellence in Church Administration podcast on iTunes, send the podcast link to a friend, and share it on social media. And if you have topic ideas or questions you'd like answered in future episodes of the podcast, it's as easy as emailing podcast@ecfa.org. We love hearing from you. As we wrap up the podcast, we always like to share some encouragement with our listeners. Michael, what comes to mind as you think about what we've covered today?
Well, thanks so much, Dan. I think with a topic like Social Security taxes for pastors that tends to be pretty confusing, I'm very thankful for the promises in God's Word about wisdom. I don't know how many of you need wisdom, but I rely on these verses and God's faithfulness daily. Verses like Proverbs 2:6 that says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Or maybe James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." And the good news is, thankfully, these verses don't just relate to Social Security taxes. So I encourage you, if there's an area of your leadership, ministry, or even personally where you need God's wisdom, ask him and he will be faithful to provide the wisdom that you need for every circumstance. So that's our encouragement for today. We want to say thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. We look forward to being with you on the next episode of the podcast as we discuss one of our favorite topics here at ECFA, properly managing giver-restricted, or they're sometimes called designated gifts to churches. Until next time, if there's anything we can do to help you or your church, don't hesitate to reach out or visit our website, ecfa.church.